There are two readings this morning. The first one is from Luke chapter 1, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail."
And the second reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. We've already heard some of this morning, and we are indeed having it again. "And there were shepherds in the same country, abiding in the field, and keeping watch by night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign unto you. Ye shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased." And it came to pass, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the angels said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." This is the word of the Lord.
We're talking about angels this morning. Anybody excited about talking about angels? Can I talk before we go on to about angels, talk about Christmas traditions? I'd love to hear over coffee about some of your traditions. We've had some strange ones. When I was growing up, a tradition that we had ever since I remember being a little boy was, for some reason, my mother thought it was a really good idea on Christmas Eve for us to eat the inside of a turkey. And that's what we did. We had stew every Christmas Eve, and we would eat the bits of a turkey that, frankly, you don't want to talk about. And we thought it was a precious tradition. Today they call it something else. But Sue's tradition was that on Christmas Eve that they would, her mum would cook this beautiful ham, and they would have freshly baked bread, and they would have these gorgeous ham sandwiches. So when Sue and I got married, guess which tradition we kept on? And so our children have had ham sandwiches every Christmas Eve, and this Christmas Eve it'll be no different again. We'll be enjoying ham sandwiches together. But one of the other traditions that actually our children don't share with us, but Sue and I can't remember a Christmas when this hasn't happened, is that we sit down in the afternoon usually, and we will watch It's a Wonderful Life. And anybody here with me on It's a Wonderful Life being a great film? And you'll know the film, well, many of you will. It stars James Stewart and Donna Reed, but there is a character in it called Clarence, who for Sue and me is the real star of the film. And he is Clarence AS2, and AS2 stands for Angel Second Class, because he hasn't received his wings yet. And it's a heartwarming film, and Sue and I watched it again just about a week ago. And I was going to say to you that it's a film that makes you feel good because good overcomes evil. But actually, if you look at the central message of the film, it is that God answers prayer, and sometimes he answers that prayer by sending an angel. It's an interesting story, but one that I think is so biblically based. I asked the question, Peter asked it right at the beginning, do you believe in angels? You know, because I've spoken to a number of people who are clearly Christian, believe in God, believe in Jesus as their Savior, but would not say that they were signed up members of believing in angels. Well, I'm going to suggest to you that God clearly believes in them, and we see it in the Christmas story writ large. Mary, for example, here we are, Luke 1, 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Mary meets an angel. And then Joseph, we know, in Matthew chapter 1, we read this, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Remember, he'd heard the story that Mary, his betrothed, was pregnant. And so he was distraught, and he did not want to disgrace her. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is concerned. But actually, God opened heaven and sent down an angel just for that moment. And what about the resurrection? In Matthew 28, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow, better than any personal advert you can ever think of. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. What must these angels have looked like? And then, of course, we have the promise of angels at Christ's return. In Matthew 13, it says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. But you find references to angels all over Scripture. I've written down here 287 verses containing the word angel or angels, from Genesis to Revelation, from the Garden of Eden to the final judgment. But what about us? Have we ever encountered an angel? I think Peter read this a little bit earlier. It says this from Hebrews, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. As we mix together later over coffee, let me know whether or not you think that you have encountered an angel. We just had news that a friend of ours has just announced an engagement, and that's all very exciting. But one of the things that sticks out about this young man is that he was traveling in a difficult spot in Eastern Europe, and he was having real, real problems at the border to actually get across to where he wanted to be. Then all of a sudden, suddenly out of nowhere, a person comes, shows them the documentation that they need, and helps them get across the border, and when my friend Tim turned to this person to say thank you, there was no person there. And Tim said to me, he said, Dave, he said, I don't know. He said, it could have been just a lovely man who helped us, and God sent that lovely man, and we thank God for lovely people, don't we? He said, I've got a funny feeling it was an angel. A Norwegian missionary called Marie Monsen, she talked about her experience in China in the early 20th century, where actually there was unrest, and the compound where she was attacked by rebels, and they were inside praying for protection, and because they'd heard the terrible things that happened to others. But as they prayed, they noticed that the noise from outside disappeared. Well, later that week, they were wondering what on earth had happened, and the locals told them that the rebels ran away because of the armed guards on the roof of the building. There were no armed guards, but the rebels run because that's what they saw. Wallace and Mary Brown have written a book entitled Angels on the Walls. If you've not read it, let me encourage you, not far away in China, but this is in the city Birmingham. And Sue and I read this book some little while ago, and they talk about being in this very tough neighborhood where, frankly, you had to put something over the glass because otherwise the glass would get shattered. And it was a particularly unruly time, and people were throwing all kinds of things at the manse, and they were afraid. And they said, please, Lord, would you send your angels and stand guard on the walls? And remarkably, the problems stopped, and later they got speaking to some people in the local community, and again they said that the local thugs had stopped because of the guards that they placed on the walls around the manse. They placed nobody there. I wonder if you have encountered an angel. So what do we know about angels? Let me give you a definition. This is from a lady called Mary Chapin. And she's written a book called Angels in Our Lives. And she writes this. An angel is the name given in the Bible to those super beings whose home is heaven and who function as the unseen agents in the carrying out of the will of God. God's angels are supernatural. Celestial beings of pure spirit, superior to humans in power, goodness, beauty, intelligence, and abilities. And they serve God in countless ways by doing his bidding and his bidding only. Angels are messengers, that's what the word angel means actually, a messenger, and attendant spirits perfectly obedient to God. They exist solely to do his will, which includes the care and protection of humans as God directs. So just very quickly, what do we know about angels? Well, we know that there are lots of them, lots and lots of them. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, it says this, millions of angels ministered to him, and 100 million stood to attend him. Then the court began its session, and the books were opened as a prophetic part within the book of Daniel. Millions upon millions. We know they have names. Okay, so I want some feedback here. Can you give me the names of two angels? Michael and Gabriel. Do we know the names of any other angels? I suspect the only other one I know is Lucifer. That's a different story. We're not going to preach on that this morning. As a fallen angel. But the two that we know who are on the Lord's side are Gabriel and Michael. We understand that there are different types of angels. Did you know that? There are different types. So can you give me some names of some different types of angel? Sorry? Cherubim. Absolutely. We find cherubim right back in the Garden of Eden, and it was cherubim that the Lord put there to actually stop Adam and Eve getting back into the garden when they'd been cast out because of sin. And actually, you find them on the Ark of the Covenant. There's cherubim there. on the Ark of the Covenant. You find them everywhere. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 10, you actually get quite a description. It is quite an otherworldly description of what cherubim look like. So it's cherubim. Anybody else got another name? Seraphim. Okay, seraphim. Another type of angel. And we find seraphim in the prophecy of Isaiah. Do you remember when Isaiah sees a vision in Isaiah chapter 6? And Isaiah said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a man of unclean lips. Well, it's the seraphim that are there. And they differ to the cherubim. Michael, as far as I can see, is the only one described as an archangel in Scripture. Gabriel, the only other named angel, is referred to as the angel of the Lord. We know that they're usually invisible, but they appear from time to time in human form. I've got three examples here. Do you remember Lot? Where was Lot living? In Sodom. And what was the Lord about to do with Sodom? He was to destroy it. Why was he going to destroy it? Because of the sin, just the rampant sin in that city. And God does judge sin. And he sent the angels in, and he used these angels in human form to rescue Lot and his wife. But as you know, it was only Lot that escaped with his life. Do you remember the story of Peter in the New Testament? Peter is thrown into prison. And who rescues him? God does. But who does God use to rescue him? An angel. And I love that story because I love when he goes back to the house and he knocks on the door and they don't open it because they're in prayer, praying for God to help Peter. And I think there's some humor in there. And then another story I love from the Old Testament is where Balaam, the prophet in Israel, is rescued from an angel by what? By a donkey. I do find this story fascinating because Balaam, this prophet, this fallen prophet, he was a prophet for hire, couldn't see the angel wielding the sword in front, but the donkey could. And if you know the story, you'll know that the donkey then presses him against the side of the wall and hurts Balaam, and Balaam smacks the donkey, and then the donkey does something else because he's stopping Balaam from being killed by this angel wielding the sword. And in the end, God gave the donkey the ability to speak to Balaam. Would you have loved to have been there? Guys, if you want to serve a sterile, non-supernatural God, you're in the wrong church. We as a leadership believe in a supernatural God who has supernatural beings who want to work in and through us and in this community through us. God expects us to be supernatural people. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to go around and be scary. But it does mean that God wants us to expect unexpected things to happen for good. Moving on quickly about these angels, we know that they sometimes speak to us in dreams, and Joseph is a perfect example for this. The only time you ever find God encountering Joseph, it's in a dream. Joseph is always asleep. We know that they play a significant part in our prayers. Let me read to you from Revelations. I do find this fascinating. It says there, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar." This is the bit I want you to listen to. "He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne." The angels are there. We know that Jesus is there interceding for us, but there's another part of the story here where the angelic host are involved with the prayers that you and I utter. Another thing that we learn is we know that there is an angelic party in heaven each time a person becomes a Christian. In Luke chapter 15, It says this, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I don't know what you're praying for this Christmas. I'm praying for a number of things, but one of the things I am praying for specifically is that over this Christmas period, that some people who come into this church or listen and watch online, that they will encounter Jesus as their own Savior for the first time. Do you want to say an amen to that? That actually, amongst all the tinsel and the turkey and all the trappings, that they will find this baby, the Son of God, given for them. We know that angels guided and guarded the people of Israel as they fled Egypt. In Exodus 23, we read, "See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you." Do you see they're everywhere? "I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I've prepared." And in Psalm 34, the psalmist says that not only did they guide and protect the people of Israel, but they guide and protect us. "An angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Psalm 91, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." And it would appear from Scripture as well that each church is assigned an angel. Revelation chapter 1, "The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Now, I'm saying that there's an implication for that. Some disagree, but it's clearly in Scripture there were angels attached to those particular churches. And it would appear that each person has a guardian angel. I find this a very beautiful thought. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Matthew 18, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." It really seems to show a picture here of an angelic host, but certain angels assigned to you and assigned to me. And I do hope mine looks like Clarence. There is something about Clarence I just adore. I want to finish with this. We know that angels are often given when we're at our lowest ebb. I refer back to It's a Wonderful Life. You'll know the story. They're short of $8,000. Nothing to do with George Bailey. It's not his fault, but he's likely to go to prison. And so he prays a prayer. And one of the angels talking to Clarence says he's discouraged. And so God sends down an angel. And you might be discouraged by all manner of things this morning. And it may well be that God sent you here to church so that you can hear his word, but he also might be sending you an angel. Look out for them. Hagar and her baby in the wilderness was sent an angel. Jesus in Gethsemane, at that point when he knew that he would be carrying for us the sin of the world, an angel was sent. After 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness doing battle against the enemy, God sends an angel. That's the kind of God that we serve. And so when we are at our lowest ebb, can we just please turn our eyes upwards and say, "Lord, the one who cares for us so much, would you minister to us?" We're not to worship angels. We're to worship Jesus. But what an angel will do is the bidding of God to enable us to walk strong and walk with purpose in the way that God wants us to go. So shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you that you are a supernatural God and you do supernatural things. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you might help us to grow in expectancy for you to move in supernatural ways these days. We know, Father, that this world, I'm sure they will respond to people working hard, but what they need more than anything is a revelation of Jesus. And so we pray, Father, that you might indeed show Jesus through your people, through us, through your churches. We thank you, Father, for this remarkable truth about angels. And Lord, we pray that when we're down especially, that you might help us to remember that you love us enough to even move heaven and earth for us. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we say the grace to one another? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you.